Hey, Nige.
Yes, Earlonne?
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season.
Oh, nice.
Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from our Radiotopia family.
Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture. It's out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th. Hey, Earlonne, you know I'm going to tune in because you know I love gossip.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, let me see. My computer is off.
So both Earlonne and I will ask you questions.
Different questions.
Yeah, different ones, and then have follow-ups.
So tell us about your porn addiction.
My who?
No, I'm just messing with you, bro.
Well, getting right to the point there, my friend.
You know, we don't do gotcha questions, but I always like to loosen people up with one of those.
It ain't like I didn't have it.
She looked like, what?
So did I.
I had a whole box of porn. People used to come and rent those books for me. Remember, I used to rent them out.
That is, there's a hustle in prison.
That was a side hustle, renting out porn magazines. Oh, yeah. That was a very lucrative business on a daily basis.
That's Elvin Williams, a.k.a. Gator. He was in a previous episode of Ear Hustle back in season 5.
Myths and Monikers.
Exactly. And in that story, he told us about getting shot in the groin area, which is kind of relevant to this episode.
Very relevant. Gator had a hookup on the outside who was sending him smut magazines, and he was serious about his collection.
An aficionado?
Ooh, I have to look that up.
Did you want them back after people were handling them?
Well, if they messed the book up, they buy it.
So this was a business. This wasn't personal use. This was a business.
Yeah, it was a good business for me. You know, I used to get 25 at a time magazine.
Trudy, this sounds like some new information.
It is.
Gator's wife Trudy was with us in the studio too.
And at this point, she was giving Gator a bit of a "you did what" eye roll.
Okay. Is it upsetting?
He didn't tell me about that.
Yeah. No, he didn't tell you about the business?
Tell you about that.
No, not the porn business.
I'm not supposed to tell you about that.
No.
Earlonne, the subject of today's episode is something you've been really advocating for.
Yep.
So I'm going to suggest that you let folks know what we're about to get into.
Okay, indeed. This episode is going to deal with people that's going without physical intimacy inside,
mm-hmm,
and how they deal with it and all the ways it complicates their relationship once they get out.
And this probably goes without saying, but in this episode, we talk about all aspects of human sexuality, and that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is very much advised.
Really advised.
I'm Nigel Poor.
And I'm Earlonne Woods. This is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. It's going to be educational, Nigel.
Trudy and Gator have known each other since they were kids, growing up on the same block in Oakland, California, and they've been a couple for more than 40 years.
And you can tell.
Every time you ask me a question, he butts in and don't let me finish. Did you realize that you were doing that? That's what you're doing.
I just had a point I want to get across that was related
what you're
to
doing,
the question.
But she's going to get to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Right. So just calm
down.
Sweetheart.
Okay, I got you.
Trudy never thought she'd end up with someone like Gator.
Oh, no, no, no. No, it's kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah. And can you talk
because
about
that? Because I say it snuck on me because I've never had to deal with people like Alvin, really. I mean, I stayed away from those kind of people. I'm like a goody-two-shoe girl. Okay.
And he's like,
bad boy.
But I was so in love with him, I couldn't see straight.
Like, why? What made you so in love with him?
Oh, his personality. That's what grabbed me first, really, his personality, because he kept trying to get at me anyway, but I wasn't interested in him. But one day we went to the store together. We were all playing cards, and we ended up being the ones to go to the store together. And we sat and we talked. They was mad at us that day, too, because we talked so long. Everybody wondered where their stuff was. But I got to know him that particular day. And that particular talk, that one little talk, I was gone.
Took me 6 months to kiss her.
Why?
Because, you know what? I always knew that I wanted somebody opposite than me. And here this lady is right here. Totally different from every woman I've seen. Mm. I mean, every single one, and I've known her a long time, right? And I said, oh, there she is right there. I don't have to look no further.
Alvin and Trudy became a couple in 1977. 2 years later, Alvin went to prison with a life sentence.
The only way they could keep being together in an intimate way was if they got married.
It took a while, but in 1985, that's what they did. They got married in a prison visiting room.
And that opened the door to real visits, the overnight conjugal kind.
So what were those family visits like for you when you had like a hectic life outside and then you had to put it on hold to go in?
Oh, I used to think of them as honeymoons.
So they were good?
Yeah, they were good.
Can you tell us how would you spend your time?
Oh, in the beginning? We couldn't get enough of each other in the beginning.
Trudy and Gator had been together for 19 years when in 1996, CDC stopped allowing family visits for people with life sentences.
Right. It was just one of those tough on crime moments.
And Gator was a lifer.
So it's no surprise that this was a real turning point in their relationship.
Being able to make love to my husband kept me closer to my husband, I believe. And so when I was going without it, it was almost like we didn't have us everything that we needed. We didn't have what we needed to keep it together.
I told her that it was okay with me, right? If she had a boyfriend, it was okay with me. Long as she didn't let him interfere in our relationship. Mm. And I wanted her to go to see him when she wanted to see him, not when he wants to come involved. I didn't want to know who he was, how often they see each other, anything.
Trudy, what's that face about?
She remembers.
I'm just saying, I wasn't the kind of woman that would just get involved with somebody for a sexual reason. All of it had to be complete.
Yeah.
So him saying that he didn't want me to get involved, but I did. And I did because I actually was alone. I was lonely.
Yeah, understandable. So how did you come to terms with being with one man and it sounds like maybe falling in love with somebody else too?
Tell you the truth, I never told him that, but I was looking for somebody to save me from him. I really was, because I wasn't happy being married to somebody in prison. I really wasn't.
Yeah.
And if I was going to be this kind of wife that I was grown up taught to be, being married to him wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
But I was so in love with Alvin.
When Gator would call and the guy was there?
I've never brought anybody home to my house, ever. Okay. I couldn't do that. I would never bring somebody in in my bed, me and Al, that could be me and Alvin's bed, because I wouldn't want the memory of it being in the bed. That's why I never done it.
Mm. Nige, this situation is a real hard one on outside partners like Trudy. But damn, I also talk to a lot of people in gator shoes.
Yeah, people going for decades without having any intimate contact.
And once I started asking cats about this, woo, the floodgates opened.
Yeah, I was incarcerated 22 years.
And what was the longest that you went without sex? Or physical intimacy?
22 years.
Rick and I grew up in the same neighborhood in South Central LA. He went to prison in Alabama in the late 90s, and soon after he got there, the prison stopped allowing porn.
Yeah, so guys inside kind of just used whatever they could find.
Ebony jet centerfolds, you know, Sports Illustrated swim edition, swimsuit edition. I mean, you know, just anything that could kind of get your mind to, you know, to go in there. You know, the less clothes the women had on, the better. So again, that's where the object come into play. You know, I don't care who she is, you know what I'm saying? I just want to, you know, take care of my business, get this off of me, and that's that. You know, I was married when I got locked up. So that definitely came into play, you know, missing, you know, my wife and the times we spent together. But after a while, it just becomes, what's the word I'm looking for? Like routine, I guess. It numbs you towards the intimacy. You kind of start looking at, and I don't mean to sound harsh, but you start looking at the opposite sex as just an object.
Sexuality can get really twisted up for some people inside.
Sex crime type shit?
Yeah.
I mean, you do have some cats who will expose themselves to female COs.
Yeah, not just COs, but to other women who work in prison. And thank God, Erlon, I've never seen it.
No, I hear you. And I'll say it's not like it happens all the time, but it do happen every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear about it.
And I don't know what pleasure they would get out of that. I guess it would be the same pleasure as, you know, you would get from the pictures and magazines and things of that nature. You know, like some of the females would encourage it. You know, others felt, you know, disrespected, and, you know, they would write the guys up and then things like that. So if they would catch them, they would put them in a pink uniform for 30 to 45 days, depending on what the, you know, what the reprimand was when it came to the sentencing at the disciplinary hearing. When guys have to go on their visits to see their loved ones and stuff like that with those uniforms on, I mean, I can only imagine how that would how they would explain that to their family.
I know we've been talking about what it's like for people in prison who go for years without having sex, but it's not just about sex.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of prisons, it's actually against the rules to have physical contact. I know this woman named Joy Bell Phelan. I met her at a speaking event with a bunch of formerly incarcerated people in San Francisco.
Hmm.
And she had spent 7 years in prison in Colorado.
So here in Colorado, at least, any physical contact is a write-up. Like, you can't even, like, say I have a friend who her mother died. Let's say I'm not even allowed to hug her while she's grieving. Like, there is zero physical contact in Colorado. So even a hug, like, I did have a friend who lost actually both of her parents. And even in grief, like, if a corrections officer really wanted to be a jerk, that's a write-up.
By the time she got out of prison, Joy Bell had gone nearly a decade without intimate physical contact.
But while she was in prison, she got involved with a guy on the outside. So when she was paroled, she had to prepare herself for having sex for the first time in years.
I was very nervous about, you know, obviously, we talked about sex and what our expectations were and what we wanted to do. And, you know, we definitely talked about that. And I was very concerned that I would not be able to meet his expectations.
In what capacity do you think?
I was just worried that, like, I think we all want good sex. And I was just worried that maybe how he envisioned it and how he thought our sex would be, that I wouldn't be good enough.
Did you feel any different when you came home? Like, was your body different? Was your mindset?
Yes, everything was different. I mean, I've gotten older, obviously. And so I was definitely worried about, you know, being fat and not feeling attractive and feeling a little bit older. And I hadn't had sex in 10 years. And I was worried about what that was going to be like.
Yeah, that's a lot like what I was hearing from my friend L.A. Rick, the guy that I grew up with. He also went a long time without having sex.
Yep, 22 years.
And he was really in his head about it.
In my mind, then, do I still got it? Am I going to be able to satisfy her? Am I going to, you know, have a ejaculation prematurely? Am I going to be too rough? Am I going to be enough? Am I going to be able to maintain an erection? I mean, just all kind of stuff go through your head.
So he is way out of practice with being with a woman, but he was pretty in tune with being his own sexual partner.
And it turns out that that presents a whole other set of problems.
After a while, if you've been doing that for so long, it gets to a point where it's hard for you to climax. And the reason being is because the feeling is nothing like the feeling that you apply to yourself. And that can become a problem with your mate. It makes her feel less than a woman because she's never experienced that. You know, and I tried to explain it to her the best that I could. But I mean, I have to consider her feelings too, because if the shoe's on the other foot and I'm not able to satisfy her, then that would make me feel some type of way as well.
So let me ask you this too. Is there some part that missed masturbating?
You know, for a while, I would rather masturbate opposed to having sex. And the reason that that was is because it was so hard for me to ejaculate. But I can get through with, you know, my wife and going to the bathroom 10 minutes. Hey, I'm ready to go to sleep, ball up in the fetal position and, you know, count the sheeps. I can't continue through my marriage like this.
Most men, they come home, they can't do it. And I've talked to several men, and they be like, man, you the first person ever said that. Talk to me about it. Ain't never, you know, they be quiet about it. So when I say it, everybody be shocked. Mm-hmm. But they know it happened to them.
This is Tiptoe, who spent 27 years in the penitentiary.
When you do come home and you be with a woman, it's not like, you know, you're not intimate. Like, you don't like her or you can't do it to her or nothing. It just be... it's not what your penis is used to having over the years.
Right.
So it's like a newborn baby. It's new. It's a different feeling because you're used to your hand. You're not loose. You're not used to a vagina. So your hand then got used to being wrapped around your penis. So if it's not your hand, it's not going to feel like nothing to you.
You mean it's not going to feel good?
Well, it's your penis ain't seen it in so long. It's like, right. What is this?
I believe there's, you know, quite a few women who have this fantasy about having sex with a man who's been in prison for 20 years. They think when they get out, like,
I've
some of that. Yeah,
it's going down.
I wonder now if that's even more pressure for men.
Oh, it is, because, you know, your expectations is real high, right?
Yeah.
So you get up in there and it ain't what they thinking. Mm. Shit, you know what's next. Pack your shit.
Is it possible you can identify who you are and, you know, where were you, what prison were you in and in what state?
Can I identify who I am? Hold on. So this I need you to loosen up. Talk to me like you know me now. I understand you're running the show, baby. You got to get a little comfortable here, okay?
Got you. No, I got you. Someone sent me a video called CC Reacts on YouTube, right? I liked it, so I reached out to her.
While she was in prison, Cece had relationships with other women, so it's not like she went without intimate contact.
But she definitely didn't get with any dudes.
I will take coochie any day, but dick is my thing. You know, so I had been gone for 3 years, so this coochie I got, this was refurbished pussy. You know what I'm saying? So when I came out, you know, this pussy has a volume on it. Cause ain't nobody had this in 3 years. I don't do the sex toys, none of that other stuff. So when I came out, I'm like, oh, baby. I was like, this shit is valuable, and this is refurbished pussy, and this is going to the highest bidder. And that's the way I did it. I got $1,200, and the shit was good.
Well, at least we talked to one person who told us she got a benefit out of all this.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of dudes I talked to, getting out and then being with someone again was kind of weird.
The 26 years of me, you know, self-fulfilling, right, actually kind of numbed my body to somebody else. You know, it was almost like I had to relearn what it felt like to be touched. Mm. In this particular case, when the rubber met the road and the fairy tale went out the window and we're looking at the reality, I had to literally get used to having somebody touching me in an intimate way, you know.
Aaron Showtime Taylor says it wasn't just going without sex that messed him up. It's how your body is controlled in prison. I mean, basically, your state property, and you can be told to strip at any time.
The psychological effect of the strip searches, right, and me being like not wanting to take my clothes off in front of anybody, you know what I'm saying? That played a lot into what made me wait.
Earlonne, I've heard you and other guys give other men who are getting out a really hard time, like, just go out there and do it. Just do it in the first 24 hours. And some people just aren't ready for that kind of sexual intimacy or really any kind of intimacy.
I mean, that's true. You know, you got to do the pep talk. You know, you got to do the pep talk.
It's like pushing them. Yeah. It's like pushing them. It's like you want to walk into the room with them and push them in.
Because that's all people have been thinking about for the last umpteen years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but for like Aaron, this was really weighing on him. And he finally found another guy to talk to who was in the same situation.
That was one of the first questions I asked him, you know, and he told me virtually the same thing like me. He said, man, it took me about 4 or 5 months before I actually slowed down enough, you know, for me to stop and really start looking at, okay, now it's time for me to approach this part of my life here. And so he's like, don't rush it. Just wait. You know what I'm saying? You can wait till you find somebody who you trust and who you get comfortable with. That was the key thing, you know, trusting and being comfortable enough to tell somebody, hey, look, I haven't done this in 26 years. You know what I'm saying? I haven't done this in 26. There's things I remember, right? And there's things I've forgotten. And then there's feelings that I haven't felt in a while. And, you know, we got to walk slow with this. Thankfully, I have somebody in my life like that. We're always joking. We're always laughing and clowning with each other. And we're always touching each other in some shape, form, or fashion. Mm. Either fingers interlocked, you know, arm in arm. If we're walking and I have my arm here, she'll slide her arm inside of mine. You know, that small intimacy. Me personally, I chose intimacy, you know, over immediacy. And I'm glad I waited to be intimate with somebody. If you can't kiss them, you might want to just hold down and wait.
We'll be right back. Nige,
mm-hmm.
Let's get back to Trudy and Gator.
Finally, in 2020, Gator was released from prison.
When I first came home and slept with my wife, I I figured we was going to be up at least 24 hours. I thought we was going to be locked in the bedroom for days. Huh?
What you tried to tell them? Tell us.
We're older people now. Our body's not going to work like that.
Well, I mean, not ours, yours. Because I was game. They could have padlocked that bedroom door if they wanted to, you know? But we was there. I was there. We was in there. When we first got into that bed together, we should have called San Quentin and tell them to feed us, drop it off at the door.
What was the intimacy like when you could be together and you could be cozy in bed or you didn't have to rush through everything?
Well, I got irritated. I said, why not the daytime? He said, well, there's people in the house. I said, we can always lock the door.
Yeah, we did that one time and my granddaughter walked in on us.
Well, we didn't lock the door that time.
Could you talk a little bit about what it was like getting used to being with Trudy again and like going to sleep and waking up in the middle of the night and you look over and there she is?
Well, yeah, that was a woo-wee. I mean, I used to wake up smiling, you know, and because she was there, right? And that I can righteously lay here and say to myself, I'm not ever letting this go again, you know, because, I mean, it was so many times that I had a lot of wet dreams with my wife when I was in prison. A lot, you know. And I used to tell her about it. I said, you know what? I had a fantastic wet dream. She said, about me? I said, yeah, who else? You know what I mean? And here it is. I'm laying next to her now. I ain't got to have those wet dreams no more. You know what I mean? I don't have to have those kind of thoughts.
Yeah.
So I might as well adjust my mind to knowing the fact that she's permanently here now, you know.
What were your expectations when Gator got out for what it was going to be like?
I didn't think I was going to be lonely anymore.
And when did you realize that you were lonely?
When he was coming home late all the time, he goes out every day like he got a job.
Yeah.
I thought I would be more companionship when he got home, but it didn't happen. This stuff is really close to my heart. I have to keep. Him coming home, I said, oh, wow, I got a companion now. We're going to go places together. We're going to do things together. But he still want to hang out with his old friends.
Yeah.
And he's hardly ever home. We don't even hardly eat dinner together because he's never home to eat dinner.
Yeah.
That bothers me. And it's really a strain on us. We go through some stuff.
Yeah.
It's really a strain on us. To me, he's somebody who didn't grow up. He didn't grow up like I grew up. He still had those young tendencies to go, always have to go somewhere, always have to be out there somewhere, like young people do. And I'm not like that. I'm not that young age where I'm going to be running all over every place anymore.
Exactly.
But it doesn't seem to change. He's 73 years old, but he still runs like that.
I'm 50 years old. But I'm technically 23 because I spent 27 years in prison, you know? So my mindset is just a little different. That's how I feel sometimes.
Well, see, that's exactly what I told her yesterday. You know, when I got busted in 1979, you know, gas was 27 cents a gallon. You know what I mean? Every night, from 79 to the day I got out, I never dreamed one night of being in prison, ever. I always dreamed about 1979. A lot of the people that I've had in my dreams are dead and gone. Family members, my parents, my cousins, aunts. A lot of them are dead, but they were always there. I don't want to feel locked up. You know what I mean? It's real easy for me to feel. I can go to the doctor's office, and I always ask him to leave the door open because those rooms up there is almost like a cell. You know what I mean? And when I'm at home, if I stay in the house too long, it's almost like I'm in prison. I know that in my mind that I'm free, but when I don't feel it, I got to you know, remind myself, you free, man. You're really, really free. So I have to get out. Yeah, I mean,
and I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it when he's, because I make him stay at home, right? Sometimes. And sometimes I could tell that he doesn't like staying home because he walking around, getting up, walking around. And I know he needs to get out. Yeah. Then I start to feel guilty because I know he can't stand to be closed in.
I don't want to put it to PTSD or anything like that, but I think it's just the thought of being confined in a situation and, you know, wanting to have that freedom to do other things. And I'm not saying relationship-wise. I'm just saying, like even when everybody was on COVID, the thing, you know, locked in, I was in the car going up north, like, Humboldt, and just driving all the way back, you know, just to get out and get up, you know, see shit.
And see, this is why I leave the house. I go to somebody that I know that's just like me so we can understand each other. We don't have to go through any kind of confrontation about anything. See, it's almost like I just have to, in order for me to really know, to feel comfortable, that the fact that I am free, I have to get with somebody that I know that was in the same boat. You know what I mean? And when I see them free, when I leave my house and go over his house and we sit there and talk about we're free, then I know I'm convinced I'm free. You know what I mean?
Earlon, I can really see both sides of this.
Right.
This idea that he needs to be out and about doing his own thing. He wants to hang out with people who have some similar memories that he has.
Right.
And yet Trudy waited 40 years for him.
You know, with me, I would just say, I just need to be out and about. Mm-hmm. I just don't like to be locked up in a house or locked up with the same, I don't know. I just like to be out.
Yeah. And can you see how it's hard for Trudy too?
Hell yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, you can definitely see how it weighs on people you love. You know what I'm saying? Because they expect more. They want, you know, you to be there and you to hang out, but they don't necessarily get that. Hanging out in the house is like being confined in a way.
Yeah, and I can absolutely see how that would make Trudy start to pull away too.
When Alvin got home, we were good. We was having sex like it was going out of style, right? But when I started not getting used to him being out all night, I mean, I was stressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was stressing. I think it shut my body down. I really do. I talked to my doctor about it and she agreed with me.
Yeah.
I'm not responding to my husband like I used to.
Yeah.
Our relationship right now, to me, is a struggle. It's a struggle, but I guess marriage isn't supposed to be all happy and sugar and cream all the time.
No, there's struggles.
Like I said, we had a very deep conversation yesterday, which brought a lot of tears out of me. I didn't even know I was feeling like that. Just because he's out, that doesn't mean the stress just goes away. All those years and years of stress is still affecting us.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling him. It's still affecting us.
You know, Nige, Gator's been home for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a amount of time there.
Yeah, I mean, after 40 years, it can take a minute to kind of get accustomed to, you know, freedom.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And I think that when we talk to him and Trudy, even though things have been hard, you know, Gator was starting to settle into things a bit. That week when we met with him, he'd been home for 3 whole days in a row.
And since he's been improving, it's kind of starting to get a little better.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel little urges that I didn't feel that shut down, and they're coming back. Yeah. And I know it's doing that because he's stressing me out a lot less than he was.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, because I'm not trying to lose her, you know. When I'm at home, I always say her name, Trudy, Trudy, Trudy. I say her name at least 1,000 times a day for little or nothing. Man, it's a blessing to see her pee. You know what I mean?
Did you say it's a blessing to see her pee? Say that again.
It's a blessing to see her take a piss. You know what I mean? it's an honor, and I can't thank God more for her. You know what I mean?
Ear Hustle would like to thank Jason Samuel and Jada Raspberry for also talking to them for this episode. This show is produced by Earlon Woods, Nigel Poor,
Rasan New York Thomas,
John Yaya Johnson, Rashid Zinneman,
Bruce Wallace, and Tony Tafoya.
This episode was sound designed and engineered by Antoine Williams, with music by Antoine, David Jassy, and Rashid Zinneman.
Amy Standen edits the show. Shebnam Sigmund is the digital producer.
And Julie Shapiro is the executive producer for Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle would like to thank Warden Ron Broomfield.
And as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this guy here.
All right. So this is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison. It seemed like this episode was the Boom Boom Room 2, but kind of a little different take on it. And so before I finish off with an approval, I have a question for you, Erlon. And so my question is what was your experience?
Ooh, man, it was pretty much a lot like, you know, what was going on with some of the cats involved, you know. After masturbating for a couple of decades, you know, you get out, things are different, you know, and you have to really focus your mind and get out of the masturbation mindset. It's just not like, you know, like they say, ride the bike. No, it take a minute.
Yeah, because that's the perspective, right? Is that everybody, oh, man, you're just able to ride the bike again, right?
No, that is. And then, you know, you start asking doctors, man, I think I might need some enhancements. I might need this. I might need that. You know what I'm saying? But then you get back into the flow of things and you be like, oh, okay, all right, I'm good.
Exactly. Just like, well, cool, man. Well, so with that, I will say that I do approve this episode since we got Erlon's personal take and experience.
Indeed, man. You know, I try not to make the stories about me.
Oh, I hate you.
And if they are about me, I'm going to do it vicariously through other people.
I got you, bro. I got you. Oh, man.
All right.
This episode was made possible by the Just Trust, working to amplify the voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, The Lowdown, where you can learn more about each episode. This week, we have Ear Hustle producer John Yaya Johnson describing the nuts and bolts of how porn lending libraries work in prison.
You don't want to miss that.
Mm-mm.
You definitely don't want to miss that.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Radiotopia is a collection of independent, listener-supported podcasts.
Some of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
Say, Naj, not that you don't always sound good, but you're sounding great in this episode.
Ooh, thanks, E. So are you.
Must be these fancy mics we're on.
Yeah, it's definitely those fancy mics, courtesy of our new office. So when we are not in San Quentin, you can find us at KQED in San Francisco.
We're glad to be here.
Isn't it beautiful?
Indeed.
And speaking of sounding good, we have one more credit to give.
Yep, to a guy who's helping us out with sound design and engineering. Helping us sound good.
I know, and we goofed up and left him out of the credits. You had Gator and Trudy record.
Yeah, it was my bad. I left the actual paper home. I tried to do it on my phone, and it was just edited out. Mm. I don't know.
So since you messed it up, why don't you give the credit?
So here it is. Additional sound design and engineering on this episode by Terrence Bernardo.
And Terrence, we are so glad you're here.
Indubitably.
I am Nigel Poor.
And I'm Erlon Woods. Thanks for listening.
Okay, now if this ever come out to a movie, Wesley Snipes plays Gator.
What? Wesley?
Wesley.
Who should play Gator?
I have no idea.
Huh?
I have no idea. I never thought about it.
Just think about the strongest black man that you can put in my place.
Oh, they all dead.
Huh?
They all dead.
Radiotopia.